We spoke last week a little bit about, or 2 weeks ago, about a bit of a hakdama to the world of Taros Bichlal, and we are going to be speaking tonight about Inyanei Paraduma more specifically. What I want to really try to do tonight, again, a lot of the goal of it is to become more familiar with topics in Paraduma, and a lot of it also hopefully will help us understand just that those opening, specifically the beginning of Parshas Chukas, that tend to be very challenging. What exactly is going on with Parah Aduma in general? What I want to focus on tonight is a very, very important question. We're going to speak about some things, I guess, in a more general sense tonight. Hopefully next week we'll be able to pin down some more of the details. In general, we know, I want to speak tonight about the status of the Parah itself. The status of the Parah itself. I'll raise a question right now, and then we're going to see and try to develop two mahalchim and a couple ways of trying to deepen it and understand it a little bit better. On the one hand, one could make the argument that that Parah Aduma is a topic in Seder Taharos, that Parah Aduma has nothing at all to do with Kachim. The Parah itself is maybe, you could even argue, is not necessarily, theoretically, we'll see, you can't realize it's the maskana, but maybe I could have thought that Parah Aduma is not a parah that has any kedusha per se. It's really just something that I have to have in order to derive from it that which I need to help purify people from Tumas Meis. Maybe the parah itself does not have that much kedusha. Maybe it certainly, even if it has some kedusha, would not have any like dine kachim. I'm going to treat the parah like a regular animal. Maybe I'm not going to have, again, we'll see, this is not so true, but I could have thought that. Alternatively, maybe Parah Aduma does acquire, on some level, the status almost like a karban, that the Parah itself does attain a certain sense of, a certain level of Kedusha. We're going to try to develop both of these ideas, and again, we'll try to build things from there. In general, if you look at source number three, the Rambam Bederech Klal highlights, when it comes to Parah Aduma, that Parah Aduma is Mitzvah Kuf Yud Gimel, Sivanu Lasos Parah Aduma, Kedei Shiyah Afar Mizuman. We have to have the ashes have to be available. Why? So that I have the capacity to purify people with it. It's really a tuma and tara kind of an idea. It's something which is important so that I could use it for tara purposes. That's also why the Ram writes the Dagdama to Peiros on Mishnah. That's why Meseches Para is in Seder Taharos. Because that's really what the whole topic is. The question of how you purify things. That's why the Rambam puts Hilchos Parah Aduma in Sefer Tahara. It's all really a topic much more having to do with Tahara than Kedusha or anything else. The Netziv elaborates on this Yisod a little bit in the Emek Davar. The Netziv in the beginning of Parshas Chukas points out that there's two different ideas. There's something called Kedusha and something called Tahara, Kachim and Taharos. What that is not so significant for now, but the Tziv points out that Parah Aduma is much more of an idea in the world of Taros, and that has, he points out, two nafkaminas. Who is allowed to engage in the process of preparing and working with the Parah Aduma? In Hilchos Kodshim, in Onain, someone who has one of their seven close relatives died that day, in Onain is not allowed to perform Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't do things in regards to Kachim. A Tevul Yom, similarly, there are certain people that go to the mikvah in the morning, and they only really become pure at the end of the day. An Onain and a Tevul Yom are not allowed to do Avodah in Mikdash. They are not allowed to engage in Kachim-type Avodahs. Those are sugyas in the second parak of Maseches Zvachim. However, says Netziv, they are allowed to engage in Avodah when it comes to Parah Aduma, because Parah Aduma is a uniquely Taros-based halacha. Parah Aduma is something which is pure Taros. In the world of Tara, says the Netziv, an Onain is allowed to do Avodah, and a Tevul Yom is also allowed to do Avodah. It's Taros. It is not Kachim. The Netziv has a very sharp shot. As to that explains the difference in the Prushim and the Tzedukim. It explains why it's connected to Parshas Korach. Also, again, some very sharp things in the Tziv, you can look over there. However, when we learn certain Ma'amari Chazal, and we see certain Rishonim, we are going to realize that there are those who argue that Parah Aduma really, in many ways, is more of a Kachim-type halacha, and the Ramban is the one, twice in his Perush Al Torah, that really elaborates on this. He writes in, it's Perush HaTorah, Parshas Chukas, there in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Beis, also in Devarim and Chaf Aleph. Hey, the Ramban essentially highlights the following very wild idea. I'll try to give some context. On the one hand, Lichora, the reason why Parah Aduma has nothing to do with Kachim is because I'm not bringing it in the Mikdash. It's not a carbon at all. It's something which has no shaychas to a carbon. The avoda of a Parah Aduma is done outside of the Mikdash. That's where it all happens. So I really, there's no reason why I would think it's a status should be analogous to a carbon. It's just something that we use for Tara purposes. However, and this is some of the background, we do have a unique phenomenon. We have spoken about in the Shiurim two examples. I'll mention the third. There are, as the Ramban points out some of this, there are a variety of situations in which we have an animal. It is not used in the Mikdash, but it still may on some level have the status of a carbon. Normally, carbonos have to be bifnim. Three examples I'm aware of where things may be like carbonos, even though they're outside of the Mikdash. Number one, Yom Kippur's coming up, the Seir La'Azazel. The Seir La'Azazel, for some Rishonim, this is Yom Kippur night, for some Rishonim is like a carbon, even though the Seir La'Azazel is Shnei Seirim. One of them, the Seir La'Azazel, I take, not in the Mikdash, I take it outside of the Mikdash, throw it down a cliff. That may be analogous to a carbon, even though it's not in the Mikdash. Number two, the end of the parsha a couple of weeks ago, Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa, we take an animal, we take an egel, and we're not using it in Mikdash, we're using it in some, how would you translate it? Nachal Esan? How would you translate it? Somewhere where we found a dead body, and we're going to, again, it's not in Mikdash, but Egla Arufa may have a carbon-like status. We spoke 2 years ago in this slot about Nyani Mitzora, and so that Tzipore Mitzora also are not going to be used inside the Mikdash directly, but it may have a certain carbon type status. So the Ramban offers the following insight. The Ramban says, I think the Parah Aduma is really like a carbon. Think part of the carbon. His line is, Va'emes shi lahavir ruach. Second. Ruach toma v'sreifasa k'reach nichoach b'chutz. Most carbonos generate reach nichoach, whatever that means, a special kind of smell. The Parah Aduma does that b'chutz. It does it even though it's not inside the Mikdash. That's also why I look in the Mishnah and Midos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalid, where the Mishnah there says that when you're so reif es ha-parah, we're going to burn the Parah Aduma to get the ashes. Where do you do it? Your own may beros har ha-mishnah, I'm standing over there. Umiskavi veroa bepischo shel heikal b'shas hazayis adam. That even when I'm engaging in some of the avoda of the Parah Aduma, so I'm not inside the Mikdash. It may be a unique idea of this carbon which is like outside the Mikdash, but I'm going to be facing towards the Mikdash when I'm doing it. It's a similar halacha in Seir La'Azazel, but I'm facing towards it because then it does become much more like an actual carbon. One of the main places this comes from is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Chav Gimel that we're going to speak about at greater length next week. But the Gemara points out that in Chumash, the Parah Aduma is referred to as a chatas. It's referred to as a chatas. And the Gemara there says, it talks about the level of Kedusha of a Parah Aduma. Is it more analogous to Bedek Habayis? Is it more analogous to really more like a like Kachay Mizbeach? The Gemara there establishes for certain halachas, Parah Aduma gets treated like a chatas. Has a certain level. So we're raising a question tonight. Next week we'll pin down some of the details. But the status of Parah Aduma, this is a pure Taros idea. Parah Aduma is just an animal that I'm using. Its own unique ideas in Taros, so I can be able to use it for getting ashes to purify people. Or, like the Ramban seems to really argue, and we'll see the Ram has elements of this, it is something, and we'll learn more, we'll pin down this more next week, it is something which does have a certain carbon-like status, unique as that may be. If I can share a personal theory of mine, some of you heard this last year in Kiddushin on one end, but let's elaborate it right now. I am convinced that some of the things that we typically assume are unique to Mikdash are actually not. The example that we gave last year at length is Me'ila. Me'ila is using Hekdesh. It's limited really to the Mikdash classically. I think there's at least four or five different contexts, which is an Isser of Me'ila outside of Mikdash. Karbanos are typically associated Dafka inside the Mikdash. There's an Isser of doing things outside the Mikdash. Yet, we do find the examples we gave here of examples of where there are things that are like Karbanos outside of the Mikdash. My own personal theory, with not getting too much into it, is that there are the notion of Kedusha, on the one hand, is most intense in Mikdash, which is why Karbanos and Me'ila, it's much more focused there inside Mikdash. But in truth, Kedusha can overflow. And in truth, there are notions of Kedusha, even Mikdash-type Kedusha, that can take place everywhere. That idea has elements of Chassidus in it. I happen to believe in that. But I think it's true lahalacha. I think it's clear in the Yerushalmi, in certain Bavli, that we really do have a notion of Hekdesh-type things, even outside of the Mikdash. I want to try to just point out a couple of things. So far right now, we really have a Chakira. Paraduma is a cheftza used primarily for taros, or paraduma is used for it has a certain carbon-like status. We're going to have two ways of deepening this chakira. I spoke about this a little bit, how to do this morning, but one model speak about sometimes it has one, sometimes it doesn't. I'll give you one context where that comes up. The Gemara tells us in Meseches Moed Katan that para aduma can be mechaper. Typically, karbanos are things that are mechaper. They cause a certain kind of atonement. Karbanos cause kapara. And the Gemara says that para aduma, it's a Gemara Masechta Katan, here is on the sheet, source number 13, Chaf Chesmet Aleph, that para aduma's mechaperes. Para aduma offers kapara. Okay, what does it offer kapara for? It offers kapara for Chet HaEgel. Tosfos explains there in the Gemara, offers kapara for Chet HaEgel. The Gvuras Ari, the Netziv, Gvuras Ari in Yuman Daf Beis points out, L'chora, there is a stira in Gemara as to whether this is really true. The Gemara in Yuma on Daf Beis, the way beginning of Maseches Yuma, the Gemara is very clear, para aduma is not mechaper. The Gemara is dealing with certainly mudim there. The Gemara can't learn paraduma from the word lechaper because paraduma is not mechaper. Paraduma offers no kapara. Asks the Gevuras Ari, I don't get it. Which is it? Asks the Netziv, I don't get it. Which is it? Paraduma gives kapara. Paraduma does not give kapara. So let me just elaborate on the question for a second. We'll try to make things relatively clear. Number one, in general, their karbanos are often associated with kapara. Does every single carbon offer kapara? Maybe there are certain exceptions, but by and large, most karbanos offer some sort of kapara. How it offers kapara for what? That's where we have differences between karbanos, but they offer kapara. Tuma and tahara is different. Kapara and tahara are two different ideas. Salvechik and Al HaTshuva, if you've learned Al HaTshuva, the Rav speak about that in the context of tshuva. That when I do tshuva, there are two different things. Every sin that I have, I get a certain punishment, and I get a certain impurity. The world of kachim is often more focused on kapara, on atonement, on getting forgiveness for sins. Getting forgiveness is not the same as tahara, as real purity. Those are two different ideas. I could be forgiven for something and still have some of the tumma of the sin. If I understand, again, just some, I think this makes sense. If para aduma gives kapara, that does highlight it's a bit more like a regular karban. Karbanos offer kapara. It's more of like a kachim kind of an idea. If para aduma does not give kapara, it's more of a tara idea. So again, para, it's not going to have kapara. It's more of a pure tumma and tara kind of a thing. Can I get some clarity? 1, 2, and 3. For those that are familiar, if I can get that. Okay. What does the Gevuras Ari say? I'll explain afterwards. You'll be okay. The Gevuras Ari offers... Yeah, we should grill tonight. The Gevuras Ari offers two ways of... Really, I guess one main way of deepening the chakira. It says it as follows. Aliba de MS. Most kapara aduma, do not offer kapara like the Gemara in Maseches Yuma. Take that one, explain the other. The Gemara in Maseches Yuma. Para aduma does not offer kapara. In that sense, ordinarily, our para aduma, it's more of a tara kind of an idea. That's how we would say it. What does the Gemara mean when it says that para aduma is mechaper? The Gemara means the para aduma that Moshe made. Moshe, in that time, there was more of a need for kapara for Chet HaEgel. That was one of the primary functions. That was the era when it was going on. To suggest the Gevura Sari, para aduma, maybe it's really Bizman HaZeh, not so much kapara. We would you say it's more of a tahara idea. In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, dafka then, it was really mechaper. He goes on to say, I'll say this point in parentheses. If you get it, wonderful. If not, it is fantastic. It's a different formulation. The Gevura Sari goes on to add a bit of a knage. He says, even Bizman Moshe Rabbeinu, this is another way of saying it, even if it had both kapara and just a tahara idea, one of them was primary, one of them was secondary. The kapara it offered was secondary. The main thing para aduma maybe always did was something I would have in order to be metaher stuff. The kapara element meant that it also was mechaper. It also was mechaper. Let me chaz where we did so far so I can just get into one final kind of an idea. What we've seen so far is like this. We're going to talk about the status of para aduma. Next week we'll speak about some details of para aduma. What does it look like? How old is it? When is it kosher? When is it pasul? But to introduce a question, is para aduma the chetza, the animal itself, is it kadosh like a karban? Or it's more of a pure tumantara kind of an idea? So we saw that the Rambam seems to highlight that at least it's primarily more about tumantara. It's more pure to produce ashes so I can sprinkle gatara. The Ramban highlights it may really be like kachim bachut, reach nichoach bachut. It's like a carbon outside. That's why the Gemara refers to it as chataf. The Gemara emphasizes that. That seems to be. We've pointed out that maybe there's a bit of a deepening. Maybe sometimes yes, sometimes no. The Gemara seems to have a steer Gemara. Does it offer kapara? It's more of a carbonos kind of an idea. Does it offer kapara or not? So we saw maybe there's a difference between the time of Moshe Rabbeinu where it did offer kapara, Bizman HaZeh, maybe it is a little bit more like a tara kind of an idea. I'll mention one other important thing. We're not going to appreciate right now the significance of it, but it will be laying the groundwork. Reb Chaim is the yisod that Reb Chaim has in a couple of different places it's quoted. The Brisker Rav has it also. And his sefer from the Rambam quoting his father. It's in the Brach al Shas and Temura. There's a lot of the Grizz. Also, it's in a lot of different contexts. The following Yisod, where Reb Chaim made the following argument. It's pretty clear, and L'chor will see this is true for Kimat all Rishonim, that there is at least some level of Karban or Kachim quality to the Para Aduma itself. Reb Chaim says, but you know what? It really depends in the process itself. We are going to speak about, when it comes to Para Aduma, there are many stages of what we do with it. The first thing we do is we acquire it. After we acquire it, eventually we're going to shecht it. We're going to be burning it. We're going to be sprinkling. We're going to do a bunch of different things with the para aduma. Reb Chaim suggests, this may have nafkaminas, he thinks, for inyane me'ila. It may have nafkaminas for timura. None of those things we're speaking about right now. But Reb Chaim essentially understands as follows. Up until the actual shechita, it is not like a karban. That is the regular animal that I'm trying to acquire for tumah and tahara purposes. Dafka, when I shecht it, l'shem chatas, that is when it acquires its status as a karban. That's when it gets its status to be like a chatas. In the beginning, it's not. Eventually, it does. That's where Reb Chaim thinks. If that's true for Reb Chaim, we're going to want to explore, are there different halachas in how we treat the para aduma? From the time that we originally purchase it, it's not like a carbon at all. Suddenly, once I shecht it, it becomes like a carbon. I'm going to have to treat it with a certain kind of severity. I'm going to have to treat it with a certain kind of increased status because, again, it is somewhat more like a carbon. That's that. Let's chazer what we spoke about tonight. We spoke a little bit about tonight how para aduma, the status of the para. We tried to figure out, is it just an animal that we're using to get ashes from to purify? It's all unique tumma and tahara ideas. Or to work that have overlap with kachim, can we import certain ideas from kachim? The Ramban again seems to emphasize that. Then the Tziv, on the other hand, really points out it's pure Tara. It's not a Kedusha or Kachim type issue at all. We then saw that we have a bit of a discussion. Does it offer Kapara or not? Difference maybe between time of Moshe and otherwise. Is it really like a carbon? Does it offer kapara? Or is it not that much like a carbon? It really doesn't offer kapara. And then we saw Reb Chaim's chiluk between different stages of the process. Initially, it is not really considered to be so kadosh. It doesn't have the status of a carbon. Nachatas kari rachmana. Later on, it really is. That was tonight. What we're going to try to do next time is speak about some of the details of the Parah Aduma. And what we're going to try to point out next week, we're going to see a lot of different machloksim with different issues about Parah Aduma, how old it could be, how when we have to purchase, if we purchase it too early, if it has a mum, different details of Parah Aduma. It's going to be a good way of learning some basic halachas about kachim also. And we're going to see how much about Parah Aduma do we have overlap with karbanos. It's like a karban, or it is not. Tonight was more laying some of the groundwork. Next week is going to be dealing with some of the details. The week after next week is Rosh Hashanah, so we are not going to have on the Thursday night of Rosh Hashanah, though I can say that I've given this year the second night of Rosh Hashanah a couple times. I will try to find a Parah Aduma tie-in to Rosh Hashanah, but I am unfortunately not aware. The shofar Parah is maybe the best we got. And then hopefully we'll have one more before Yom Kippur. But the goal is that, again, through the course of the year, we'll be very, very familiar with a lot of the basics. It's not a bad starting point for some basic ideas in Kachim and some good ideas in Taros. That's more or less a plan. Shkari, guys. Have a wonderful rest of your night.